Welcome back to another episode of Digital Creator. Let's take a deep breath with me. Are you having a good week? I hope you're having a good week. I think about what to say when I start these episodes, and you know what? Today, I'll just be honest, I'm kind of drawing a blank. And I think that's okay. Some days you can draw a blank, and that's the cards we draw. I have some cool questions I'm going to be answering today. I'm really enjoying doing the podcast this way. I'll start out by saying that. It's been a bit of a mission trying to like figure out my groove for Digital Creator, and I feel good about how it's going. I'm really enjoying the format. I'm really enjoying the topics. And part of that is because I've had people like yourself submit some really fun questions for me to answer. I like that there's like a variety in the show. I like that it's not one specific topic. We can keep things flowing and not spend so long on a topic that it becomes draining, but not spend like a TikTok amount, not spend 30 seconds on something. Feels like just enough. And I do my best to give enough time for the topic in each little section so that it does it justice while not, drowning it out or making it boring. So hopefully you're enjoying it too. The response has been cool. Today we're going to be talking about number one. Someone's been doing their podcast for a while and struggling to market and grow it. Number two, how do you figure out what creative endeavor will bring you the most joy that you could turn it into money? And then number three, how do you find the right social media contractor to implement your strategy because they've gone through four? All that to come on Digital Creator. So first up, question is, I've been doing my podcast for 3 years now and I'm struggling to market and grow. Any advice? Yes. Number one, awesome job on keeping it going for 3 years. That's no easy feat. Doing anything, just even like one episode, is an accomplishment in itself, because from what I've learned about podcasts is so many people talk about doing podcasts. Very few people actually follow through and launch their podcast. So good job on that. Second, do you know what's working? If you're marketing on social media or in your content, just a super simple question, do you know what's working? Most people I speak to have no idea how to answer that question, or they have a vague idea in their head. And what I'm coming to learn is vague is not valuable. You need to know what's working, right? Now, you know what's not working because you said it right there in your question. You said, I'm struggling to market and grow. So you don't know what's working and you don't know how to market and grow your podcast. I have a simple solution. At the stage you're at for doing it for 3 years, the analogy I'll use is like a boat. So if you had a boat, you had a hole in that boat and water was leaking in, you're driving that boat. It's got the motor on the back. It doesn't matter if you drive faster, if water's still coming in, it's not going to fix the hole, right? You got to plug that hole. You got to address the problem, which is more water's coming in. For your podcast, the analogy I can use for that is you have people listening to your podcast, but they're not staying around to listen to another episode. And same thing happens on social media and pretty much any of the content we create is you're going to always have people that check it out once, but you want a section of those people to continue to come back and engage again and again. So what can you do? You can focus on keeping people coming back. Give them a reason to come back and focus on engagement. So instead of growth, instead of trying to get like 100, you know, new listeners or 1,000 or 100,000, whatever, focus on keeping the people that you already have tuned in, to use like the biggest podcasts by far and large, Joe Rogan, for example. Now, he didn't have to put in like some, listener data figuring all this stuff out. He just really had an engaging podcast from the start, talking about topics that people found interesting. And that's why people stick around and listen to 3+ hour episodes that he publishes weekly, is because they're really engaging. So not only is he getting new people listening, he's keeping the people that are already listening. For the length that you've been doing it, for 3 years, I would like to see better engagement. And even if things just stayed the same, and then slowly improved, would be way better than just losing followers. And I don't know your numbers, so I can't really give any insight on your exact numbers, but keep those people coming back. What can you do to keep them coming back? What can you do to add more engagement? And that could be the topics you talk about. That could be the way you remind them to come back or listen to new episodes. Whatever it is, it has to be working. So like at the beginning of what I was saying here, do you know it's working? No. So you have to try a couple different things, have a baseline so you know kind of like what the normal rate, what the normal number is, and then optimize for that engagement. Now, there's a bunch of different ways you can do that, and I'm not going to go into all the different ways on this episode, but just doing one thing, like even doing the wrong strategy is better than doing no strategy, or better than doing like just absolutely anything and hoping something works. That I think is more of like a consumer mindset, but we're in the creator mindset. So we need to know what's working so we can do less and just be more effective. I hope that makes sense. If it doesn't, let me know. I can expand on that further. Or join us in the Creator Club and we could talk about this on the next weekly live call. Next question is, how do I figure out what creative endeavor will bring me enough joy that I will do it until I figure out how to make money doing it? That's a good question. I'll share what worked for me because this took me years to figure out. It took me longer to figure out than I've been doing digital creator, than I've had content clips or had my own like personal brand. Is I figured it out finally through implementation. There's definitely times before I started this podcast for sure where I thought, you know, it would be cool to do this or it'd be cool to do that. Then sometimes I would implement on those ideas where I would start an Instagram account and I would start posting. And then like a couple posts into it, I was like, you know what? This is not that cool. Like I don't actually know what I'm talking about. It didn't have any narrow focus. And then when I narrowed in on podcasting at first, I was like, oh, this is easy. Like I could talk about this stuff all day. And because I had such a familiarity with it, but also I had like a burning desire. And I was creating what I wished existed because I was naive to the fact that there were already people talking about the topics that I was talking about, like podcasting, for example. I didn't see those accounts when I started an Instagram, which was a good thing because I put myself out there because I was creating what I wished existed. Very shortly after I started posting, I saw a couple other accounts that I was like, oh, that's kind of like what I'm trying to say. And I kind of like found my people that were spouting like authentic, real, helpful, motivational, educational, you know, advice and tips and things like that. And so if I would have saw that early on, I probably wouldn't have ever created anything, but it was through the implementation. It was through creating what I wish I saw in the world that allowed me to get the momentum I needed to sustain until I'm talking to you right now. And then the other thing I would add is how it looks on day one is not how it has to look on day 100 or 1000. There's certain elements of what I'm sharing today that have rang true since day one for me. There's other elements that, you know, I've put together so much more information. It's hard for me to even quantify or explain all of the things that I've learned along the way through the implementation. So don't get so caught up on what you want the end result to be. There's that cliche saying of like, you know, it's cliche, but it's like so true. We all need to hear it from time to time of enjoying the journey, not the destination. The same thing is true for like what we're talking about here, your creative endeavor. You said, how do I figure out what creative endeavor will bring me enough joy? So that's like thinking the end result is the joy. Yeah, this is getting philosophical for a second, but like the joy is actually through the process. And part of that is external, like your audience, money, things that you might buy with, you know, the money you make from what you're putting on your platform, things like that. Another part of it is internal, your own self-discovery that you have along the way. Using myself here as the example, again, when I started my own platform, no experience other than just like doing Zoom call meetings on camera, on the microphone, like talking like this, I only had experience like doing it for other people. It's one thing to like record somebody. It's another thing to record yourself talking. Two completely different skill sets. You don't have to have one for the other. You don't have to know recording whatsoever. I think of Jimmy Fallon or something, I don't know, some late night host. Like how much do they know about editing, right? In the very beginning, probably very little. Now they might know way more, but it's because they've been doing it for years. But you don't have to know about that stuff when you're just getting started. You just have to have the reps and the desire to want to do it, and you'll naturally get better and more involved at it. Just to kind of recap on that, don't focus so much on the joy of what it's going to bring you. Focus on like the process of it, the self-discovery process, the implementation, like the work. The best thing you can do is focus on the process, that chop wood, carry water approach. Every week I record this podcast. Next week, I'll be talking about different topics than I talked about last week, than I'm talking about this week. And I don't really get too wrapped up in what I'll be talking about in 6 months. That's a quick way to anxiety town for me. I'm getting focused on the present moment here talking to you. What is it right now? This is my question for you. What is it right now that would bring you joy today that would be a good creative endeavor you could start to take, a good next step you could take to start to implement for your creative endeavor? Forget the money, forget an audience, forget all the tactical things, where you're going to post, all those things. Like, what's that like one thing? What do you wish existed in the world? It's funny, as I'm saying this, I'm like, man, this is exactly what I needed to hear when I was at that stage. Part of me sharing this with you feels a lot like what I needed to hear when I was in that spot. Because it was only just a few years ago, I can really still go there in my mind. And it's not easy. I totally understand that. And there's a lot of things along the way. And there's people that have already like gotten just a little bit ahead, like myself, on this path of like creating and sharing and things like that. And I will say it's easy now looking back of like, oh yeah, I have all this knowledge of, you know, the tactics and yeah, I know what to do. I know what to do. But it's again, different, just like how I was recording people. It's a totally different thing to be on the microphone. So don't also try and say like, you know how it's all going to play out. Just go for the ride. And number three, how do you find the right social media contractor to implement your strategy? I've gone through more than four. Okay, a couple things. I have to address the elephant in the room, or at least what I think is the elephant in the room. If you've gone through four social media contractors, you might be the problem. It might be you. And it totally might not. So I'm going to like give this the justice it deserves. But I will say a couple things I might be able to infer here. Now, if you've gone through four social media contractors and you're not finding success with them, it sounds like I'm making an assumption. And you know what happens when someone makes an assumption. Your vision might not be clear because there's a misalignment from the start. Like before you even hire somebody, like you need to share your vision of what you need. Then also sounds like maybe they are steering you clear. Maybe they're saying what you want to hear and you're not getting the correct information you need to figure out those red flags that they are not the right person. So it sounds like the process, even for a contractor, that there is a broken piece happening and you want to identify that. Like where during the discovery phase is there something broken that's like, hey, we don't even need to move forward after this call because four is enough. Like that's enough data to figure out, okay, the onboarding process is not right. Another couple of things, because I don't have all the information here, is are they not implementing? Is that the problem? Like they're saying they're going to do this one thing, but then they're not. Are you not trusting them? So then like they're trying to do one strategy and you're trying to do another strategy. Trust is a huge thing with anyone. In social media, it's no different. You need to trust that what they're doing is moving you closer towards your goal. And it's in line with your vision. If that's not there, like without trust, you're not going to work as a team. You're not going to work well together. So identify what's going on there. And I've kind of thrown a lot here, right? It's kind of introspective to talk about like what is your role in this as you're hiring a social media contractor. I'll tell you, you know, one thing, because with Content Clips, we kind of act as a social media contractor in one way, like a wheel of the social media team or marketing team. One thing I try to make really explicit during the discovery phase is like the scope of work. Like this is exactly what we do. And this is like how we do it. This is the way we work together. And I want to get all of that out of the way before anything is signed, before there's even like, for sure, before any invoice is sent. So I try to make that extremely clear. That looks like, and I'm thinking back on some calls I've had with people where they're like, you know, what exactly do you do? And I explain to them and then it's like, okay, cool. Like, We want to add you to our Slack. It's like, okay, we don't, and this is on the initial discovery call. You know, we don't work in Slack. We just work through email and Trello, like just these two spots. And this is exactly how it works. Like there's a certain flow to it. Cool. Okay. Like you sure you can't do Slack? I can't, because then that basically messes up the system of how we're working together for like, and you're not my only client. We work with multiple clients. Now, if that was the case where I could work in Slack, I was like, okay, cool. But kind of everything needs a SOP at that point, right? Needs a standard operating procedure. If you're going to start adding in new things, either from you or the contractor, right? Now, as a contractor, Content Clips is a contractor for these companies. We have our SOPs and they have their SOPs. Like Content Clips has to express those as clearly and quickly as possible in the beginning to know if that aligns with what they're doing. And it doesn't align with everybody, and that's totally fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But I want them to know that so they can make a better decision about whether to hire us and we'll work great together or not. And, you know, a lot of people out there will tell you what you want to hear in order to make the sale. And that's the reality of the situation. Like that's just going to be there. So we can't change those people, but we can change how we do things, right? So I guess knowing what I know now running Content Clips, if I was hiring a social media contractor to implement, as you said, actually, your strategy, you need to make it extremely clear to them, like, this is how I want it to work. This is how we'll also know if we won. If you got your strategy, like, it needs to be so clear, like, say, I'm just going to make up something, like, you wanted 100,000 followers by June 1st, and you're at 50,000 followers now, and you hired a social media contractor to help you implement this strategy. They didn't create the strategy, so it's not on them exactly if they did it how you asked them to do it, if you hit that. You know what I mean? Like, I want to lose 50 pounds by June 1st and I hire a trainer, but like maybe it's not physically possible for me to lose 50 pounds. And I tell the trainer to do it like, I want to do my workouts and you're going to implement my weight loss program. Well, the trainer at that point is just running the plays that I give him, right? Same thing is kind of true with your social media contractor implementing your strategy. At that point, they're just following direction and it's just like a yes or no. Did they follow the steps that you gave them in order to implement the strategy? If that's to get like 100,000 followers that you set out, or 50,000 followers, you know, whatever the goal is, they're just following the steps. It's like a pass fail at that point. This is pretty in depth, I guess I'm answering this, but you got to think about it like, if this is just like a, they need to do, they're like inputting this thing here, inputting that thing there, then probably better onboarding. But what can you do to clearly find aligned contractors to implement your social media strategy? That's the question you need to answer. And probably through a better discovery call, like that initial thing. Now, inside, I will say this. This is like a soft pitch, if you will, for in the Creator Club, in the Quick Learn courses, I have a how-to guide on how to outsource. And because I have hired, gone through the gamut of contractors and video editors and podcast editors, I put together just a little training on how I cast a net, and there's different phases, right? So phase one, you want to make sure like you're capturing the right people in a pool of workers, for example. And then phase two, you give them tests. And I have it like templatized in the Creator Club. So you know exactly what to say. You just copy and paste it, but for your job that you're doing. But you want to make it like foolproof, right? And you want to be able to make it so streamlined that you can spot where outliers are in a good and bad way. So you can see the green flags, you can see the red flags, and you don't get caught like you are with like four red flags that probably were there that you just missed. Hopefully that helps. Really become crystal clear on that vision and things will start to get easier. All right. That's what I got for you this week. Throwing this over to you. If you go to my website, dylanschmidt.com, if you're on desktop, you'll see on the left-hand side, or if you're on mobile, it'll be the little lines at the top. Hit the contact button, write me a message on what you would like me to cover in a future episode. And if it's relevant enough, I'll make sure to cover it. Catch you in the next one.